Hi, I'm so excited to be here today with my great friend, Stacey Curnow, who helps women find and live their purpose. She left behind a 20-year career as a nurse midwife, which I just can't even believe one does that for 20 years. I just think that's amazing, helping women give birth to babies. And now she's helping women give birth to their big dreams. She lives with her husband, and she has a son and a dog and a chicken. And today we're going to talk a bit about mindfulness and eating. So hi, Stacey. How are you?
Hey there. I'm great. How are you, Mia?
I'm great. It's so good to have you here.
Oh, my exciting. God. Delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So let's dive right in. And I'm really excited with all of the tools that you're going to share today. But before we dive into those, would you mind just giving us a brief overview on sort of mindfulness in general and as it pertains to food?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because I believe that we get into so much trouble when we are not aware. And so really mindfulness just comes down to another word is just awareness. And so just think about your day and how much you go through it either intentionally or not intentionally. Another word would be to be reactive, right? So you really, so there's going through the day intentionally, like here are the things that I'm excited about, you know, I'm happy to be doing these things, I get to do these things, and the other is reactive, and so that is where you just get up and then, you know, nothing's planned, nothing's intended, but you have this basic idea of what needs to happen in the day. You know, the kids need to get off to school, you need to get to work, you need to eat something, you need to, you know, return those calls, right? But that's a very reactive mode, and so a very conscious, creative, awareness mode would be, again, to have an idea, a plan, an intention for how you want the day to look. And so when you are going through the day with that awareness, with that presence, then you're going to be so much more able to make choices, right? Really to choose not only how you want to be and feel, but, again, how you're going to respond in any situation. So, again, I keep using that word either, you know, that you're going to react from this place of unawareness or you're going to respond from this place of presence and awareness. And so I think that's where I want to leave it for right now. Do you think that help to clarify that?
Yes, totally. Totally, and that makes such sense because I'm pretty good at this point about being aware myself, but there's definitely moments where that creeps in, and it usually has to do at a time when I've sort of lost sight of what that the way I wanted to feel or what I knew I was going to do in the morning, and all of a sudden it's dinner, and I have, you know, a complaining child, and usually that's what could throw me off track. So that totally makes sense. I love that.
Absolutely, and I really want to make the point that in any moment you truly are aware of how you are feeling. Like you just have to check in. Again, you don't even have to check in because I'm going to use that word a lot about checking in with your feelings, like how am I in this moment. But most people are aware when they're stressed out. And so really, truly, stress is an alarm. You should look at stress as an alarm that's going off when you have gone into reactive mode, when you are not aware. And so if you could just use stress as this alarm that goes off that should be signaling to you, okay, you're not being present right now, so let's take a moment right now and ask ourselves, what are we thinking? You know, what is the story that we're telling? And again, if you realize like, oh my gosh, I go through the day so stressed that it doesn't even register anymore, then I would say for that person, like set a timer on your phone or on your watch or some little alert that comes up, you know, on your computer that asks you right in that moment, again, on the hour, at the top of the hour, that you ask yourself, how am I in this moment? And again, if it's like, I'm pretty good, I'm feeling pretty productive right now, I'm feeling pretty happy, great. But if it's like, you know, so much stress, so much going on, kids crying, you know, deadlines overdue, right in that moment, you can make a decision to bring awareness to that, saying, yeah, you know, this is hard. You know, I've got all these things going on right now, but I'm not going to make it worse by telling a story about how it shouldn't be happening, how, you know, this is going to, you know, projecting into the future that it's always going to be like this, right? So those are the those opportunities that we can have to become more aware and more powerful in our response to the circumstances in front of us.
And the cool thing about that is it can kind of change in a moment instead of dragging on for longer and longer, right? Yeah.
It can absolutely change in a moment because it's all dependent on you and your response to that situation, right? So again, it can be like, you know, this is terrible and this is never going to change and every day is a battle, or it can be, you know, in this moment, I'm going to choose to respond differently. I'm going to say, yep, this is really hard right now, but I'm starting to make choices, right, that are allowing me to feel more peaceful, more aware. I'm starting to structure my life in a certain way. I'm starting to make choices about certain things in my life, and things are changing, right, for the better.
Yep. So everyone here listening is at a point and they're here because they're taking steps to change the way they eat in different ways. So you shared with me a fabulous tool about mindfulness and eating. Can you share that with everyone on the line?
Absolutely, because here's my take on eating. I believe that eating becomes confusing and difficult when we have external rules to follow and we are not following the wisdom of our own bodies. So again, you are presenting to women, to busy families, this plant-based diet, and that's fantastic. And I would definitely say that my diet is very plant-centered, but I also really enjoy animal protein, and I get it every day because I've noticed that I feel my most healthy and vital. I've tried vegan diets, and I didn't feel as energized as I did when I was eating some kind of animal protein every day. Now, but for other people, right, for you, a plant-centered vegan diet is what energizes you the most. And again, people can be anywhere on that spectrum, but they have to know that for themselves. They have to figure that out for themselves. So this tool really will help people kind of start to become the detective in their own lives. Because again, some people just know that they're not feeling their most healthy and vital, but they don't even know where to start. They don't even know the foods that are triggering them maybe to feel more mentally cloudy, to feel more sluggish, to feel, you know, again, not the way they want to feel. So by using this appetite awareness tool, what you get is this opportunity at every meal to write down how you're feeling at the meal. You know, again, hungry, stressed, you know, peaceful, happy, you know, any kind of emotion. But what I also love about the tool is that it gives you this opportunity to check back in 30 minutes, or you can decide an hour. I wouldn't go any longer than 2 hours because it's somewhere between like 30 minutes and 2 hours where you're really going to be feeling the effects of the food that you've eaten in that previous meal. So again, you decide, right, between 30 minutes and 2 hours to check in and then identify how you're feeling. So again, if it's energized, it's vital, it's healthy, it's focused, it's getting work done, that's fantastic. Then you ate really good in that meal, and you want to identify those things and make sure that you're repeating them. If you're feeling sluggish, mentally cloudy, tired, right, those are all things, just check in. And if you're feeling any of those things, and again, it can just boil down to you're feeling good, great, make sure you're reproducing those foods in other meals. If you're feeling bad, look at what it is and try to identify one thing that you're going to play with, like maybe not eat that, whether it was wheat or dairy or sugar or corn. Again, just think about it. Like one of those things, let me not eat that at the next meal, because truly at every meal we have this opportunity to start fresh and to, again, become the detective again and identify the foods that are really vital for us, are really good for us, or not good for us.
Mm.
So I really want to impress that point, because this is something that you can use for yourself as the mama or the papa in the family, or it is something that you can share with your child. And one of my favorite stories about that is my son is now 9 years old, but when he was 7, like going on 8, he was almost 8 years old, he said to me, "Mommy, I'm fat." And he was looking down at his belly. And I was like, "You are not fat. Like, look at your arms, look at your legs, look at your face. You are actually strong and lean, but you do have a belly. And that's what I call the wheat belly. Because when you eat wheat, again, with some people eat wheat, this happens to me. I was sharing with him, this is absolutely the case with me and many other people. For some people, it is not the case. Like, he has tons of friends who their whole diet is based on wheat, and they do not have what I call, again, that wheat belly. But for him, he really retains fluid in his abdomen when he eats wheat, or more specifically, gluten. And so even though he wasn't gluten sensitive in the sense of having stomach aches or in any other way not feeling good after eating gluten, it was manifesting in the form of the wheat belly. So I just shared with him my own experience and the scientific findings that support this. And so he decided at, you know, between 7 and 8 years old, that he was going to not eat as much wheat during the day. And again, he loves pizza, he loves mac and cheese, but he chooses to just eat them occasionally now and not every day and not at every meal. And guess what? He lost his wheat belly very quickly. And he talks about that all the time. Like, "Remember, Mommy, when I had that wheat belly?" And I'm like, "Yes, I do." And now, you know, he knows that he's empowered to make these choices that help him feel better. I mean, again, energetically, but also about the way he feels about his body. Because, again, I mean, I was certainly surprised that my 7, almost 8-year-old son was so aware of his body and how he looked and this body image issue. But that's the reality that we're living in this world. And so it felt so good to share with him empowering tools for him, you know, to use to feel good about himself in his body.
Yeah. Yeah, we it's funny, in a very informal way, we've had to use the tool you're sharing, because one of my daughters has such severe allergies, and as we were trying to figure out what they were, you know, we would always ask a lot of questions about how she felt, so that we could really get to the bottom of it, because tests were not getting us to the bottom of it. But, you know, there's not just her, there's 3 kids. So everyone sort of started answering the questions along the way. And it's funny.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, yeah. And my my son has become so aware of sugar. So the thing that's become very, like, that he's knows is how sugar affects him. And it doesn't mean that he never has it. But the second he has it, and starts feeling like a little bit crazy, he knows that's why, and he'll say it. He'll acknowledge that, which is really cool.
Absolutely. And for Griffin, again, like, he will, you know, we call it sometimes angry cake. Like, if he goes to a birthday party and there's some kind of a processed cake, you know, that they got from a supermarket or something, you know, he'll have a piece, but he was like, it was the kind of angry cake, Mommy, where it had like the chemical, you know, dyes for the, and he knows that he gets irritable after he has angry cake. And so, you know, but again, he's like willing to have it once in a while, but not so much, right? And so,
yeah.
And I feel so good knowing that he has this awareness, that he has these tools so that he can make these empowered decisions for himself. And again, that's what, if there's any takeaway that listeners get from us talking, is that you can give these tools to your kids, and it will feel so great. It'll feel so great for you as the mama or the daddy, and it'll feel so great for the kid too, to use them. Oh, and I wanted to just say, that's why I was going to interrupt you before, was, isn't it fascinating that, again, you had this whole battery of scientific tests that were done with your daughter, and they did not reveal as much, or again, in conjunction with, it could be complementary, but it was really with your daughter being the scientist, with your daughter being the detective, that you really got some insights and some actionable, you know, tools to use for continuing, for helping her feel her best, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. We are so much more powerful than any science around us, like just as individuals, to figure out what is serving us.
Think about it. I mean, those tests are done, and they've researched them, right? They've had studies that have used so many subjects, but that's still, I mean, maybe they had 100 subjects that, or 1,000 or even 100. I mean, no tool has been tested on, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, but yet we have billions of people on this planet. So, of course, we can't rely on scientific tests. I mean, again, for guidelines, perhaps, but not for rules for our own body. That's why I'm like, let's stop using external rules. Again, we can have guidelines, but not rules. We define those for ourselves, every single individual for themselves, right? And we have this great, you know, like lab to tinker in, which is our bodies, and they will tell you very quickly how you're doing, right, on your your test.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, and that this is all relatively new to me in my life, because I didn't realize all this until I started playing with food for myself and for my daughter, and it's amazing. I was definitely Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I just love how you said playing with food, right? It doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to, you know, again, I just think it's the saddest thing in the world that, you know, the majority of people go through life thinking that, you know, there's something wrong with them because that they lack willpower because they don't, you know, they can't do diets, right? And they have to restrict their food intake. And then they think there's something wrong with them when it doesn't work for them, right? And that feels so hard and so shaming when it really can be, like you said, we can play with our food. We can have fun with this as we're, you know, becoming detectives about what's best for us in our bodies, right?
I mean, yeah, no, totally. I love that.
Yeah, me too.
So here at Stay Basic, we're really helping people figure out how to get back to whole foods in general, because I feel like a lot of this that we're talking about has to do with the fact that we're not like really comparing one processed cookie to another, right? We're talking about when you're eating whole foods, sort of playing with it and tuning into your body, and understanding how processed foods make you feel too, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then people are going to have this amazing tool that they're going to use to sort of come up with a practice of figuring out and checking in how they feel. And then you also shared with me sort of a more specific tool or strategy that you use for when you're, you know, in a party or celebrating. So can we talk a little bit about that? I mean, there's definitely times of year where we're going to know, maybe we know that gluten, for example, doesn't make us feel good, or it gives us that wheat belly, or it makes us tired, or whatever it does to us. But there's this, you know, as long as we don't have celiac or something where we really shouldn't be having it. But if it's just a feeling that we get, there might be something we really look forward to that has that thing, or sugar, or whatever our thing is that really sets us off. Well, what happens when we encounter that? Will you talk a little bit about that in terms of like parties and celebrations?
Absolutely. Yeah, so this tool that we're going to be offering to our listeners is this appetite awareness tool. It's a worksheet. Again, I see you, you know, having that out, you know, on your bulletin board, on your refrigerator, at your dinner table. But, you know, of course, you're going to go out in the world and, or you're going to have people gathered at your home, and you're not going to have this sheet out and be checking in. But you can have this question, and this question helps me in any gathering, any time, you know, I'm out and about. And the question that I want you to have, and maybe you would write it, you know, like on a little sticky note or a little index card, and you'd put it in your pocket, and so when you reached into your pocket, you would feel that, and you'd be like, oh, what's this note? Oh, that's right. I want to be checking in. I want to be asking myself this question. And so the question is eating this, you know, whatever it is that's in front of you, but is eating this in alignment with my desires, right? So my desire to feel healthy or vital or celebratory or in community or whatever. Like, you fill in the blank, right? But really, remember when I said in the very beginning of this talk that you can either go through the day intentionally, right? Having set intentions for how you want to be and feel throughout your day, or you can go through the day reactive and just reacting to every circumstance that comes in front of you, right? And again, which would you rather be? I know I would rather be intentional, right? And so if you can just set the intention before you go into any event, any gathering, any celebration, that I am going to ask myself, you know, I want to feel healthy. I want to feel vital. I want to feel celebratory. I want to feel in community with my loved ones. And then ask yourself, what would that look like if you were doing that, right? Because, again, okay, I want to be in community. I want to be, you know, celebratory with my family. But so often that means, you know, that I have a piece of pie and then, you know, Aunt Joan wants me to eat her fudge too, but I've just eaten the pie and I don't really want the fudge. Right, like, I mean, these are challenges that we're really presented with, and it's going to take some, again, awareness, some willingness to play with some ideas and some scenarios and maybe go in with having gotten some buy-in from your family members. Like, hey, you know, I'm really going into this celebration with the intention that I'm going to be really honoring my health and my desire to feel really healthy and vital and celebratory. So I just wanted to share with you that I want to have a little bit of, you know, Aunt Joan's fudge and a little bit of your pecan pie, but, you know, I'm going to kind of call it quits after that. Or, you know, I'm just going to check in after that, and I may eat a little bit more or I may not, right? So, again, sort of go in with this intention of how you're going to feel and how you're going to be in this circumstance. And then when you're in the event, that you ask yourself, right, you'd be willing to check back in and say, is eating this in alignment with my intentions, right, with my desire to feel, again, you fill in the blank, healthy, vital, celebratory, in community with my family. And so that intention and then that question really helps me so that when I'm eating that piece of fudge, because again, I do look forward to special seasonal food that I only have around this time of the year, like the pecan pie, the fudge, the eggnog, and I really want to enjoy it. And so asking myself that question, though, really helps me to enjoy that piece of fudge so that I'm not just inhaling it while I'm talking to someone and that so I haven't even enjoyed it, right? I mean, how many of us have had that experience where we went through the buffet and it all looked beautiful and so we loaded up our plate, but then we sat down and we started talking to our family members and we didn't even notice that food that we ate on our plate, right? Because again, it just, that's understandable that we would have the food and we'd be talking and we wouldn't even be aware. So again, I think it would be really important to go into any event with, you know what, I'm going to sit down with my plate of food and have a few bites and really enjoy it before, you know, I engage in conversation. Or I'm going to let people know that, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this food. I'm just going to kind of focus on this a little bit. And so I'm not ignoring you. I'm going to get back to you in just a second, but I really want to just enjoy all this wonderful food on my plate and really just, you know, focus on it for a little bit, right? These are all things that I say that people really understand, and they're like, wow, good for you. And again, you're like shining this light. You're being this wonderful model of how we can all be in these situations, enjoying food and enjoying community, right? Honoring our commitments to ourselves and our own health while we honor our commitment to be in relationship with these important people in our lives, right? It doesn't have to be either or, like, oh, okay, if I'm going to be in gathering with my family, that means I'm no longer honoring my health, right? I think it can be both. And so that simple intention and that simple question really do help me say, you know what, this one piece of fudge, I'm good. This one cup of eggnog, I'm great, right? I'm satisfied.
I had two thoughts while you were saying that that I thought I would share. One is that all of a sudden I had this idea of when you put the event into your phone to write a little alarm that goes off that asks whatever that question is that means, you know, that you want to attend to at that moment, you know, whether, you know, about how you want to feel. And the second thing I wanted to say is that I love that you shared, that you share when you're there, you know, what you're doing and kind of why, because I get this question a lot about food just on a daily basis, and because people always ask how my daughter goes to birthday parties or parties in general, and, you know, because she has such bad allergies, I come pretty supplied with food for her. But what I find is I always say things out loud about how I'm eating or how I feel well. And that kind of makes it so I don't have to very often say no to any of my kids about food, because they're paying attention to what I'm saying. And they internalize that, right? Like, the best way we can teach is by example. So as you're sort of processing what you might or might not be eating in a certain situation or how much you're enjoying the food, a huge revelation to me was once someone mentioned how we always say at holidays how full we are and how we don't feel good. And a lot of us grow up thinking that that's what happens at the holidays. You just don't feel
right.
good. And so I started saying all the time how good I do feel, because I was, you know, my intention was to always feel good after the holiday. And it really changes things, because we never talk about that. We never say, oh my gosh, I just finished dinner. I feel so great. Like, no one ever says that part out loud, even if it's true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We do yeah. in our family. And I learned that. That was something I learned in Mexico, actually, because after they, and this is all throughout Central America, because I've traveled extensively through Guatemala as well, but they say after their meal, and again, this was revolutionary to me 15 years ago when I was traveling extensively in Mexico and Guatemala, was they say satisfecha after a meal, was satisfied, right? And I realized, like, oh my gosh, I never hear people say that, you know, in America. They always say, oh, I'm so stuffed, I couldn't eat another bite, right? But in Mexico
yeah.
and Guatemala, they're saying satisfied. I feel satisfied. I feel complete, right? Totally
yeah.
different. And so
yeah.
after that, like, we have, that's what we say in our family, satisfecha. Or for the men, right, it's satisfecho, you know, or I'm
yeah.
just, or if we're, that's like our little family joke. But, you know, in our culture, like, when someone will offer me, you know, more food, like whether it's my mom or a friend at her house, I will say, oh, no, I'm satisfied. Thank you. It was delicious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't say, oh, no, I'm stuffed, I couldn't eat another bite, which, again, it's like we, in our culture, we have to be stuffed if we're going to refuse another bite, right? But I'm
yeah.
like, oh, I'm so satisfied. That was delicious. Thank you. I'm satisfied. Right, and you can tell that they're sort of like, wait, what did she just say? I haven't heard that before. And so, yeah, definitely, we want to change the way our culture uses language around food, for sure. And we get to model that starting right now, right?
Yep, totally.
Okay.
So I think we're going to wrap it up soon, but I just had one follow-up question to something we talked about a moment ago, which is that we went deep into our kids around the tool of figuring out how you feel. What is, I'm blanking on what the exact name you're calling the tool. What is it called?
Right, the appetite awareness.
The appetite awareness tool. But we didn't go into us. So you had shared sort of how, what that taught you about yourself and what you like to eat.
Right.
And so do you want to share that quick? Just because I think that was
absolutely.
Useful. Okay.
Yeah, I really hope people will download this tool, because it's pretty it's very, I hope it's self-explanatory, but when you use it, it's so helpful. So first of all, you're writing down, like, the time that you're eating, whether it's a meal or a snack, and then you're really checking in where it's like one, you have a scale of 1 to 7, and then it's like one, it's really too hungry, like you're starving, like you shouldn't be at that point, right? It's really hard to be mindful when you're starving. And then number 7 is, like, where you ignored your fullness, where, you know, you just, again, you got stuffed, basically. But then right between, like, 3 and 5 is where you ate mindfully, you know, where you sat down with your meal, you were in a quiet, calm environment, you said a little blessing, or you just checked in again, you just checked in, where, like, where am I right now? And then you get to do this assessment where it's like right before or right at the time of eating, how do you feel, right? Describe your physical sensations, explore any negative feelings, just check in, right? Are you feeling positive, neutral, negative? Check in. And then at 30 minutes again, and you can decide 30 minutes to 2 hours, you check in again after eating. And so there's just a place where you can write down exactly what you ate. You know, you had rice and beans and corn chips, right? This is how I realized that corn chips really did, you know, again, it usually created a little bit, not a lot, but just enough of, like, a little bit of crampiness after eating that, again, I decided, you know what, it's delicious. Oh, my gosh, I love corn chips, and I love the crunch and the salt and everything about them. Wasn't worth it. But then I did also find that they have a reasonable facsimile of a corn chip in a rice chip. And so, you know, again, with the brown rice, and again, it's processed. But, again, as a treat food, instead of having the corn chips with guacamole that could really trigger me, I can have my rice chips with guacamole and enjoy it. So, again, these are the things that I was able to notice after time of consistently checking in and consistently eating with awareness. So does that answer?
Yes, that totally does. So I love that. And I've found similar things. As I've gone through, one of the things that I gave up early on was coffee in my health, you know, journey to health. And I was so adamant about that rule in my head, like that I could never have coffee. And it became something, the interesting, like the thing I feel is that if people are hearing this for the first time and they have like no practice around mindful eating, this kind of might sound overwhelming. But I guess what I wanted to say was that I feel like it is overwhelming at the beginning, right? It's a lot to take on. But what ends up happening is it just becomes part of your rhythm and this practice. Like it's just something you do. It's not like you just start noticing more about what you're eating and how that makes you feel. So I sort of gave up coffee and a whole like rule-based thing. Like I wanted to be vegan and I wanted to be pure about it, and not that coffee's not vegan, but you know, at the time it was raw vegan. And what I found was then eventually I gave myself the freedom to add it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time it affected me, like it wasn't positive. And so I just stopped having it again, you know, because I noticed that really affected my body. And then about a year ago, I got to go on a trip with my husband to Europe. And I had just this memory of being in France drinking coffee. And I was like, why would I deprive myself of that? First of all, I'm away with my husband alone and I have three small kids. Like that was unheard of. And plus, like, it just seems like such a joyful thing. So I let myself have, you know, that cup of coffee, and I just remember enjoying it so, so much. And it was fine, you know, like I was totally fine when I really checked in with my body instead of with my mind, you know, because before it was kind of my mind dictating what I was going to think about this.
Absolutely.
Cup of coffee.
And think how powerful your mind is. I mean, we know that. Like we can tell ourselves something's bad for us, and it will feel bad, and it will manifest in, you know, physical symptoms for sure. And so it's so important, again, just try to let go of the rules and then just go into it with this, you know, openness, this curiosity. I mean, that's really, you said
curiosity food. Fun.
Again, curiosity sounds light and playful and interested, and I'm curious, right? This should be fun. This can feel fun. And I want to really address that. It can feel overwhelming, but here's an important reframe, right? We're going to expend energy either way. We can expend energy feeling bad after we eat. We can expend energy by feeling sluggish and mentally unclear and, you know, kind of, again, in our culture, we can just feel bad and shameful about ourselves and the way we look and the way we feel. So that is energy expended, right? It takes a lot of energy to feel bad about your body and to feel bad in your body and to, right? And so look at it, it's like, wow, we're going to expend energy either way. And so maybe I'm just going to start spending a little bit more energy at the front end, right, about setting intentions for how I want to feel, about checking in with how I feel when I'm eating, about checking in how I feel after I eat, and then making little course corrections along the way based on the information that my body gives me. Hey, how would that feel? Yeah, I could do that. That doesn't feel so overwhelming, right? So I really want
to
realize, it's energy either way. and they get to choose, right? So
yes, and that is an awesome place to stop because that is just awesome and happy, and I love that.
Great.
So in case anyone is hearing this on iTunes, I just want to say that the download is available to everybody, but obviously it can't be hosted on iTunes. So if you go to stay basic.com
/podcast, you will see the list of podcasts, and next to this one will be a downloadable sheet where you can get the tool for yourself. And thank you so much, Stacy, for talking with us today. It was wonderful. And I want everyone to know that Stacy has a fabulous website full of information. And I'm just going to spell it out because first she has an E in her name, and second I want you to get her last name right. So it's StaceyCurnow.com. And on the homepage, she has a wonderful giveaway. So go and check her out because she is a wealth of knowledge. And thanks. Thanks for coming, Stacy.
Oh, my gosh. Again, my absolute pleasure and honor. Thanks so much for having me, Mia.
Yay. All right. Well, bye, everyone.